Hi, everybody. Let's wait a moment for us to get here. So I'm having one of those work at home moments where I have no doors on my office and there's a lot of noise in my front yard. So I've come to kind of hide in the middle of the house, but at some point there's going to be noise in my backyard. So I just like, I'll quickly move back to my desk. So I'm sorry about that. It was unexpected. Okay. Let's get my notes. All right. So today's call, I mean, all of our calls are juicy. This one, I think, is a particularly juicy session. It's the second part of coaching energetics. And of course, we've been looking at energetics, you know, throughout the program, but today we're gonna focus specifically on energetics again, in a more advanced way. Some of the things, you know, as I said before our first energetics call, some of the things that we're gonna look at today at first glance may sound really simple, but they're really, what we're looking at today is so important and so layered. So before we get there, I'd love to hear from some of you, what have you been seeing and noticing and learning about energetics? How, since we've started our program, how has your understanding of energetics, how have you seen that impact your coaching, your life, yourself? What have you been seeing and noticing? What's been feeling important about energetics to you? Who wants to share? I'd love to hear a voice or two on this. And this is where it's getting loud in the back now. Let me just quickly move. You get a little view of my house. All right, Jolly.
Can you hear me okay? I've got my AirPods on. I don't know if you can hear me. Okay, cool. I think one, this is a really weird example, but I found that when my daughter gets up really early, and she has to get up very early in the morning to go to school because she catches the bus and it takes a good 45 minutes. And so if I get up with her, my husband gets up at 6 and makes her breakfast and then takes her to the bus stop. And if I'm there, she seems to, you know, throughout that process of eating breakfast, getting ready for school, you know, going out the door, then she seems to have a more centered day at school. Whereas if I disappear, it's like, oh, good morning, and go off and do my own thing and like don't really make that contact with her, she'll come home and she'll be like, oh, this person's driving me crazy and I had a really awful day. And it's just really interesting how I've tracked it now. And there's absolutely a difference to me being there versus me not being there. I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes so much sense, and I love that you're using the example of your daughter because it's so true in so many of our relationships, and I often compare coaching clients to parenting children. But what you're, you know, what I really hear you speaking to is, like you're saying, the presence and the setting of the container, you know, for her day, like your presence and your showing up. And you're paying attention at the beginning of the day is that bookend that really supports your daughter to have that container that holds her through the day. And it's so true with our clients as well. Whether we take those few minutes at the beginning of a session to do an actual grounding or visualization or, breathing, or even if we don't, but we just set that intention to be fully present to hold the space. It makes such a difference. It's beautiful. Thank you. I love that you've been tracking that too with your daughter. It's awesome.
It's been fun, actually. Thanks.
Sophie Jane.
Yeah, I've had such a journey with this whole and complete piece. Like right from the beginning, I thought, hang on, I don't come from this place where those around me are whole and complete. And I thought that was because I knew better. And then as I've worked with it myself through this program, I realized that I was coming to all my relationships, including my, client relationships, with this sense of, I know what you're about, or just these subtle judgments of like, cool, I get what kind of person you are. This is the kind of consulting I'll need to bring. And it's like, wow, once I've removed that between me and my husband, between me and all the people I relate with, between the clients, it's like, oh, you're a human in front of me, just like I'm a human in front of you. And we've both got our stuff. And I've got some stuff to support you. You've got some stuff to support me. We're relating together. And not only has it really helped my marriage, because I think we're talking from in a completely different way, that I'm seeing him more. But this program that I'm running at the moment, people keep saying, I feel so seen. Thank you for seeing me. And I feel so understood. And I'm like, geez, this is huge. And it's so, it's life-changing. It's fantastic. Loving it.
I love that. I love that so much. And this idea that is so related to energetics and the whole and complete piece of, when we just kind of quickly pigeonhole people or quickly decide they're this, that, or the other thing, we limit all of them coming through. We limit them having access to all of their resources and all the parts of themselves, and to changing expression as well. And we do that to ourselves as well. We decide I'm this kind of person or that kind of person, and then there's so much limiting that happens there. And what I'm really hearing in your sharing is the coming at your client with curiosity, with understanding that in an initial meeting, they expressed certain parts, but not all parts, that there's more of a fullness there. It not only gives space for more of that to come forward, it gives you more presence. It gives you opportunity to bring more of yourself forward and to find those different points of connection and points of support.
Yeah. And it makes me judge myself less. Helpful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Thank
It,
you.
thank you. AJ.
Yeah, where I'm really noticing is that I've been really good with energetics in session. I am super connected and people are very open and vulnerable with me, and I value that so much. And where I'm not as strong is outside of that closed moment. So the energetics that I'm bringing to working on the business, that I'm bringing to those in between times, when I get stuck in my head, or when I get lose focus or lose confidence on my role in my business.
I'm so glad you're bringing this forward. I know you're not alone. As I'm listening to you, I'm shaking my head because to different degrees, absolutely same here. And what I think is really powerful and really exciting is that you can't see those energetics shift and change with your business as well. And like awareness is first piece here. And also moving from celebration and resource, knowing that you completely have it in you to have the types of energetics that can support your business because you show up that way in your client sessions so beautifully. Mm-hmm. So the next pieces here are now the practice, right? And like any practice, meditation practice, exercise practice, you know, taking vitamins every day practice, whatever it is, it takes commitment and intention. I'm wondering what it might be like for you, AJ, to think about the time that you're working on your business as containers. Like here's a hour-long container or two-hour-long container that's about my relationship with my marketing, right? And then to take a few moments or minutes at the beginning of that time to set the container, just like you would set the container for a client session, and to set your energetics just like you would set it in a client session. And then during that hour, 2 hours, you might get triggered like you might during a client session, and then just reset the end, be aware like you would in a client session, I know you would, and reset the energetics from there. How does that work?
I'm smiling because this is almost exactly what Wendy suggested yesterday on our call. Almost exactly. And it really hit, and it really I have notes about it, and about like having a sort of an opening ritual to that time, which is making that container strong. Yeah, that's awesome. And thank you for honoring that. This is not my soul struggle. No, my not. Solo struggle. Also not my soul struggle.
Yeah, neither. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that you heard it now twice. It sounds like in 2 days. So something to pay attention to.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Randa.
The energetics in that sacred container is just keeps coming back to every single thing that I feel like I'm doing more and more as I'm working with clients. And I hosted a retreat in the spring, which was very different than the way I would have hosted it in the fall. And creating space and holding space for women is one of my strongest, I don't know, whether it's gifts or talents, but expanding it to creating that container, there was so much really amazing feedback from that by starting it from the beginning, continually checking in, and then giving everyone permission to either, like the invitation, even that kind of speech of you're invited to connect with someone during this exercise, or you're also able to choose to do something differently. And I've just been finding that it's all of it, and all of the work and the stuff about the contracts and stuff. And I know that that's like, I need to totally switch how I'm doing that because it's been too loosey-goosey and that container feels leaky. And it has only shown up recently as being a place where it feels unsafe for either me or my client. And even just the idea of safety and each person. A lot of my clients have come to me recently who just don't feel safe anywhere, never have in their upbringing. So, I mean, I'm calling it a nest now, like everyone needs that sacred container. And so if I can create that for them, and then if they can figure out how to create that in different parts of their lives, then just it's Yeah, it's everything. So even though the conversation in the beginning was like, oh yeah, yeah, we got this, all the added layers and bits and pieces and application of it, it's like, oh, this is the basis of everything. Mm-hmm. So it's been awesome. Yeah.
I agree. And I got chills as you were speaking both about the retreat and what unfolded there. And then this idea of the nest and how we all need these containers in our lives. You can really feel also the shifts for you and it really nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you for all these pieces being put together slowly over time.
You're so welcome. Michael and saying in the chat, it's always been in the background, but now it's more conscious and deliberate. I can say check energetics and I know what that means, right? You know, it's like, you actually know what that means now. Yeah. Ayana's saying about 20 years ago, when I first learned Reiki, I practiced setting the container every day for years. This has made it so that I can hold space for others. At first, it took about 20 minutes a day or more. And eventually, I could set the space of the room in a moment. Yep. I'm seeing in this moment that practicing on setting my own internal energy every day. Yes, beautiful. Okay, great. So let's go deeper. And what we're going to take a look at today, for a couple of you tuned in to the Endless Raving Client series that I did a couple weeks ago, we touched in one of those sessions, we touched on some of the pieces that we're going to be looking at today, but we're going to be looking at it in a much deeper way in this call today. So even if you've heard some of it a couple weeks ago, open your ears to hear the nuances for yourself. So I'm going to say this and then I'm going to pop it in the chat. If left unguided, what happens in the coaching container is a microcosm of what happens out of the coaching container in the real world. You can pop that in the chat, and I'm going to say that again. If left unguided, what happens in the coaching container is a microcosm of what happens out of the coaching container in the real world. So what I mean by this statement is that if a client is unsure of herself out in the world, if left unguided, she's going to just show up for coaching feeling unsure of herself. If out in the world, a client tends to anger easily at others, if left unguided, when they show up in the coaching container, they will likely have the tendency to get angry easily at you or at themselves. If outside of the coaching container in the real world, a client tends to compare themselves to other people a lot. If left unguided in the coaching container, that client will probably, either with realizing it or without realizing it, tend to compare themselves either with you or with your other clients if they have unrealistic expectations outside of the container. If left unguided, they're going to have unrealistic expectations inside the container. If they're hard on themselves outside, right? You get the picture. I could go on and on here. In other words, there is a good chance that at some point in the coaching relationship, your client will unconsciously bring their own family and social dynamics and patterns into the relationship with you. they'll bring the helpful dynamics into the relationship with you, as well as the not so helpful dynamics into the relationship with you. So the more conscious that your client can be, the more aware that your client can be of the family dynamics or family projections that she brings, the more conscious that you can be of them, then the more together the two of you can use it for your client's growth and for your client's transformation, instead of those dynamics and projections working against them in the container. That makes sense so far? Now, before I say that, another way that you can also look at this is that you want to, as a practitioner, be aware if your client is projecting parent, mother, father, brother, sister, authority figure, etc. onto you. You want to be aware if your client is projecting any of those onto you. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But here's what I want to say next. There is nothing wrong at all if this happens. If the client projects in this way or brings these dynamics in this way, so long as you as the practitioner know how to navigate it. It doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong as a practitioner, because it's natural for this to happen. And it's sometimes even more natural for these projections and dynamics to happen if the coaching space is a safer space for someone. Because there's that sense of comfort for them, right, that they may have in those other place, those relationships that they're projecting onto you in their lives, right? And by the way, the coaching container isn't the only place this happens. When left unchecked, I project a ton of stuff onto John, right, from my parents and my sister, you know, and all the things. So this can happen in lots of relationships, particularly comfortable ones. Usually ones that are not as comfortable or safe. We're like on our best behavior in a way, right? And those projections may not happen exactly. So there's nothing wrong if it happens, but that being said, as the practitioner, you want to be aware, and you want to support your client to be aware, and you want to work with the dynamics. You actually want to leverage the awareness and leverage what's happening. It can become, when you're able to leverage it, it can become like pure gold for your client. So I want to repeat again what I said before. What happens in the coaching container is a microcosm of what happens out of the container in the real world. If this is true, if the statement that I just shared is true, then check this out. Then I think what I'm about to say next is also true. That if you, the practitioner, direct things in a certain way, the coaching relationship can become a transformative opportunity for clients, not just in terms of their relationship with you, but around their own family dynamics and other relationships. If you, the practitioner, direct things in a certain way, the coaching relationship can then become a transformative. I'm always hesitant to say healing, the word healing, but I really think a healing opportunity too for clients around their family dynamics. I think I've mentioned this before. I really see this as the part of the work that we do as sacred depths practitioners. There's always like two levels of work happening in the container. There's the one level of work of the like these are the goals that the clients want to achieve, and we're helping them with their fears and their obstacles and their visioning and their strategizing. We're helping them towards their goals. But then there's a whole other level of work that I think is also always happening in the container, and that's about the relationship between you and your client and how that relationship is transformative and teaches new dynamics and teaches new skills and teaches new patterns to the client. Annalise, do you have a question?
Yes, Joanna, I have a question. Obviously, I'm perfectly aware this happens. However, you said that when we are not that familiar with someone, we tend to put our best behavior. And so we check this projection in a way. And I wonder how this happens in that, because you said, you know, with my husband or maybe others that are very close to me, I just project my sister, my, you know, but when you are in a sort of like therapeutic coaching relationship, can a client be checking themselves and so be like, because they don't, even if it's a safe container, but we're still someone that, you know, they're not that familiar with. So are there cases in which they actually hold on?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And I mean, there's right, like it's sometimes when we're more comfortable, sometimes when we're left, it's not number one, just one thing. But absolutely, what I've noticed, not always, but much of the time, is that there's certain projections that can happen from the get-go, like, does she like me? Am I good enough? All of those. And then as the relationship kind of deepens and becomes more familiar, if we're not on top of it and creating awareness, then some of those other more comfortable dynamics can come into play. That's not true 100% of the time, but that's what I've noticed, a lot of the time. It sounds like that rings true for you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good question. Okay, so anything else that anybody wants to say so far? What are you seeing so far, hearing so far that feels important or that's like ringing a bell here for you? Michaelin.
I'm shoot. Sorry. I'm a little confused about the difference between seeing a client as whole and complete, seeing myself as whole and complete. I can be in that space and see each person as like a whole unit within themselves. And the thing that the client wants to change, the thing that they're here for, that they come to coaching for, and how is that related to being whole and complete if there's something that they've identified that they don't like or that isn't serving them that they do want to change?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And I'm wondering what belief is underlying for you that's having you get stuck here on this.
Well, that if there's something in me that I'm wanting to change, then there is something in me that is not whole and complete, that there is, that they're mutually exclusive. Yeah. So help me with this, Joanna, because I was with Caitlin this morning coaching about the, or she was coaching me about this. It's like, what am I missing here? What am I not getting?
So what if it was possible that you could be whole and complete and also have things that you want to change? Why, I'm curious as to why and where you got this idea that if there are parts that want to shift or transform or grow or change, that they can't also be whole and complete. And it might be semantics, but I have a sense there's something else there for you.
I'm not totally sure, but I know that there's this relentless drive in me to continue to grow and fix and change and make correct. And it's gotten me to amazing places in my life. And yet this like not good enough piece, not quite right piece, I think gets in my way. I can't totally see it. I know what you're asking, but I'm seeing what I'm not seeing. I'm seeing the block.
Tell me if I'm hearing you correctly. It almost feels like there's this feeling of if it's not perfect, then it can't be whole and complete.
I think as soon as I have a sense of it, like that thing that I want to change or fix, like everything goes out the window about self-love and boom, I'm on it.
There we got it. There. We just hit it right there. Right. So there's what happens for you is as soon as there's something you said, fix, right? Even that is telling, right? Versus change. Then the self-love goes out the window. The self-compassion goes out the window. It's this, the sense I got is like, this is robotic. Like we must change this now. And what is here is not okay. We must change this. And the invitation is to move to, here's something I want to change, and here's something that could improve, and here's something that I'd like to achieve, or here's something that maybe I don't have right now, and I love myself, not only just later when that happens, and I love myself, and I am okay now.
Okay.
What's feeling important here for you?
It's an invitation. You've issued an invitation. I accept the invitation. And I don't know what I don't know. And there's something about this that, although I totally get it, and there's a part of me that doesn't get it.
Yeah, and I think it's because of that dynamic that you're talking about. This has to be fixed, and I can't love myself till it's fixed. So based on that, what's a journaling question, homework question that you want to give yourself?
Just to really push into that space of what is lovable about something that I'm aware of that I want to change.
I love that.
Okay.
All right. I want to hear how that goes and what comes of that. Beautiful. Ayana, you know you have your hand up. I want to make sure we get through a little more of the curriculum, and then I'll come back and I'll open up. And I wanted to also just, Lane said in the chat, leveraging client projection sounds lovely in theory, but it feels like it's moving into the territory of therapy, and I do not feel qualified to be working with people as a therapist. 100% Lane. So you're going to see what we look at today is in the scope of coaching, not in the scope of therapy. We're not going into the past to unpack deeply these projections and dynamics with clients. But that being said, there are coaching strategies that we can use and apply to the here and now that we actually oftentimes need to on this topic in order for clients not to get stuck and to help them move forward in the coaching. So hopefully that will become more clear as we go through, but if you have more questions on that afterwards, definitely ask.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so I already gave some examples of projections and dynamics that a client can bring into the container. I'm going to share a couple more. So you're going to judge me, right? You, coach, are going to judge me. You don't like me. You don't like me as much as your other clients. Sometimes what can be brought into the container is you're making me do this. You, coach, are making me take these action steps or, you know, achieving this goal. You know, you'll punish me in one way or another. There'll be a consequence if I don't get it right. You don't approve of me. You're not really here to support me. When I need you, you won't be here to support me. You don't really have my best interests in mind. You need to save me. You, practitioner, need to save me. Or I need to save you. I need to take care of you, practitioner. You don't really see me. You don't really understand me. That's a biggie that I have to watch myself for when I am a client, because I felt so not seen and understood in so many of my relationships for a long time that I was noticing, you know, when I first started working with coaches, that I was just assuming that they weren't really seeing me or understanding me when that wasn't the case at all. You don't really believe in me. That might be one. You don't think I'm good enough. You think I'm annoying. So, what are some of the unhelpful dynamics that you've had with your primary caretakers? What are some of the unhelpful dynamics that you've had with your primary caretakers? I'm going to get through some journaling questions and then I'll take some raised hands. Yeah, Alta's saying in the chat, I need to be perfect, chin up, hair done, dressed in order to be worthy of the life that I had. Yep. Yeah, I'll give everyone else another minute with this one. What are some of the unhelpful dynamics or patterns that you've had with your primary caretakers. Sarah's saying, I think I felt like they were threatened if I was different or if I was separate. Yeah, my needs were not important. Renda, you're struggling with this question. See if any of these other shares kind of open up something for you. If not, there's some other questions that I'm going to ask that might open up some things for you. I never did it right or wasn't good enough, Brenda is saying. Sophie Jane is saying, my mom told me to be quiet and stop talking often. Yeah, that I'm not special enough to feel seen. Why can't I be like my siblings and my peers? Mm-hmm. My spiritual work is not good. Yeah. Right, it's not okay to be spiritual, to bring your spiritual self. Yeah, a lot of great shares in the chat. Okay, here's another question. What are some of the unhelpful patterns or dynamics that you've had with siblings, if you have siblings or close cousins or any stand-ins, close friends? What are some of the unhelpful dynamics and patterns that you've had with siblings or stand-ins for siblings? Competitiveness, yeah. Annalise is saying, I was always the strong one and he was the weak one. Yeah, so I defend for myself. Competition, yeah. Physical needs not being met. Yeah. All right, next question. What are some of the unhelpful dynamics and patterns that you've had with teachers and authority or authority figures? What are some of the unhelpful dynamics and patterns that you've had with teachers or authority figures? Yeah, a lot of important examples in the chat. So as always, you know, these inner inquiries are for you and yourself and your own learning and your evolution. as well as so that you have just lots of a whole range of what your clients might be bringing to the container without realizing it. All right, here's another question. Considering all of this, all that we've looked at so far, when you've been a client, how are you seeing that you've brought your own family dynamics or patterns or projections into the relationship? It can be with a coach, it can be really with any kind of practitioner, massage therapist, acupuncturist, whatever it is, therapist. So as a client, how are you seeing that you've brought family dynamics or patterns or projections into the relationship? Yeah, need to be seen and validated. I love that you broke those projections, Randa. That's beautiful. Yeah, we need to hear. Guarded, yeah. Over explaining myself, yeah. And then one more question for now. How does this show up for you as coach or practitioner? What unchecked or checked family patterns and dynamics, not so helpful ones, do you bring to the relationship? And I'll give you one example that I realized early on when I was coaching, it hit me so hard and so deep. So the beginning of my career as a coach, I was anxious all the time. When I wouldn't hear from clients in between sessions, it was like if I didn't get an email from a client in between sessions, I'd be like, oh my gosh, they're not really engaged anymore. They don't like me. They're not doing the work. They don't want to work together anymore. And it would just, and then I would reach out to clients, but not in a, oh, that's a nice way. Like it was totally, but it wasn't helpful for them. It was just to feed my own need to make sure that we were still connected in between sessions. I needed that constant contact. And then one day it hit me, because that's how it was always with my mother. Like if she didn't hear from me every day when I went away to college or whatever, she would make me feel like we don't have a relationship anymore and I don't love her anymore. I got all the Jewish mother guilt going on, like all the things. And I was bringing that straight into my client containers. So as a practitioner, where maybe some places and things that you might be bringing into your containers. Yeah, so the question again is, as the coach, as the practitioner, what are some unchecked family patterns or dynamics that you might be bringing to your client containers? They need that you need to be their help, their helper. Yeah, that they're dependent, anxious about being good enough. Amy's saying, I stress when the energetics are off and have a hard time bringing it up. Let's, Amy, let's look at that. I want to look at that question together, maybe at the end when we open up, because I think that will just be a really helpful conversation. Okay, so now we've had so many great shares in the chat. I'd love to hear one or two voices on this. What are you seeing? What's feeling important here so far? What are you noticing? Who wants to share? Barbara. You there, Barbara?
You gotta unmute, Barbara. Right? So who we are here is who we are there. And who we are were then is who we are now, unless we're kind of unpacking it. You know, that it's like the patterns that I have from my childhood, even when I'm aware of them, they, unless I'm just like paying attention to how I behaved then, and you know, is it kind of infiltrating into today, it, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of like on autopilot sometimes. So yeah, this is really helpful, because it's like, oh wait a minute, that pattern, that's there. I'm just seeing it on rinse and repeat. One of the things I wanted to say I noticed is that the dynamics of my relationships with my parents affected the dynamics of my relationships with my siblings. And that's something I noticed, but I just wanted to kind of make sure that's in the container too, that these are, you know, they're not independent. They all happen in context with each other. So yeah, just kind of,
yeah,
that's what I'm noticing. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that last point, and I also love the language of the autopilot. I think it's perfectly said. Like we're like on autopilot with these things, unless we have awareness on it, and then it doesn't have to be autopilot anymore. Carla.
Okay, I'm gonna go direct then. Okay, hi.
Okay.
Oops, I'm not hearing you. Are you hearing me?
Can you hear me?
Oh, just a moment, little volume work. There we go. Okay, all I want to say is the not enough, not good enough, you better like me, I hope you like me, I hope you tell me I'm good enough, I'm doing a good job, needing approval. Both from coaches I work with and clients I work with. But the thing that came up that is out of balance is the money. Money was a big part of my anxiety growing up, asking for money or asking for what I need or being okay with receiving, even if it was given freely. So that dynamic is really sticky with me around clients. I don't seem to have any problem investing and paying other people. But that's, so I feel like the fact that that's out of, that that's two different ways to my awareness is probably something useful for me to look at. Why am I okay paying people and I'm not okay asking people to pay me?
Yes, I'm so glad that that's coming forward. And my guess is that if you look more deeply, it is also related to those dynamics around giving and taking that you may have had for a long time. Like, it's okay for me to give, but not take and receive. So I think there's some ripe exploration there for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Vlada.
Hello, everyone. On video. So I realized that growing up in a very patriarchic still society, and still pretty much during communism and until I reached my 20s, there was this general attitude of like, we know best, we know what's good for you, and you definitely don't have a voice. And that was definitely reinforced also by the dynamics in my family and being primarily raised up by my grandparents. So I realized I'm carrying something like that over into at least some of my coaching situations, like where I'm perceived as the leader, the one in the know, who could be even the consultant, because for one reason or another I hold more knowledge. And that's, as much as I'm striving to be a more of a democratically set environment and to have and to acknowledge the value that everybody brings to the container, that dynamic still comes in. Somewhere underneath, I'm still, yes, but I still know more than you. And it's true, I do hold more knowledge in certain areas, but I don't, it's hard to separate those things, the energetic part from the actual knowledge that you hold in certain areas.
Yeah, absolutely. You may hold more knowledge than others that you lead. And that's okay, right? There's nothing wrong with that at all. And with that, there can still be a shared power, a balance of power, no hierarchy, etc. You may hold more wisdom, but everybody has their own resources in the group that they have, something they have more of, if we want to look at it as more, right? So there's a way that that can all work together.
When you said the word power, something in me reacted. It must be about power. Mm-hmm. So feeling like my power is not acknowledged, and it's something that I guess needs to come from within me. I acknowledge my power, so I'm not threatened by other people having power in the situation.
That's right. That's it exactly. That right, what you did right there, Vlada, was just a very beautiful, simple owning of shadow move right there. You get to own your power, knowing that that power doesn't take away anybody else's power, right? And then it will help you. Owning and leaning into that can really help some of this.
Yeah, but it feels really threatening. It feels like, wow.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's exactly why so many of us don't want to own our power, or want to own our power, but don't want to own our power, because there's a lot to it. And especially looking at the cultural structures that you've come from. So it might be, I mean, that we could do so much with this, but you know, for just the sake of right now, how would it feel for you to do some homework and some journaling on what does aligned power look like? What could aligned power look like? What could shared power look like? Mm-hmm. Oh. Randa.
This whole exercise has been pretty triggering for me, so I'm trying to hold it together. Growing up, there was a lot of drama, a lot of trauma. And so my role as the middle child was to keep the peace and be quiet and mediate. And as long as that happened, then it was more peaceful at home. And so I just pulled myself back and just did my own thing. And I didn't like acknowledgement because it provided jealousy. So I chose my own path. And then later on, 20 years later, my sister and brother are like, wow, you're actually kind of smart. You actually do this kind of thing. Cause I was just kind of in this little, like nobody knew me because it was easier that way. And then 7 years ago I had a brain injury and had to rebuild everything. And all around me, my sister was like, oh, that's okay. That's all you can do. You can just teach yoga classes or something. And I just got brushed off. So it's been really hard, even at home, with the perceived value of energy healing work, and that's how my husband would put it, to be able to own this as a valuable service and to own my choice in moving this forward. And so it's constantly feel like I bring in looking for validation from clients, any bits and pieces of wording that is supportive to the fact that I've helped shift or change someone's life. Those are hugely needed as a part of my building block, as a part of the building blocks to be validated, I guess. So I, like you, Joanna, before was like, oh my God, someone hasn't contacted me in a while. I'm going to reduce the rate. And I'm going to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I charged you this much. I'll give you an extra session. And the person was like on vacation and they were just like, couldn't give a shit. So it's just really owning that, and then the monetary part there, putting a monetary value where if someone who's like, what, you're charging that much per session, like, is that like, so then that value piece as well. So it's been a lot of work over the last few years, and this course has been super helpful in just not having to provide answers for everyone, and slowing things down. And that's okay. That's that my holding the space for them to allow them to feel safe, because I didn't necessarily feel like that was safe for me at home. That is huge. And so even just with some of my clients now, I'm seeing in them that they're proof of, the more they can do, that's how they value themselves. But the essence of being and just the presence of self is way less valuable because it's not as tangible. So that's a big shift that's going on within me, as well as carrying that forward into the work here too. So yeah, I was frozen in the beginning, but there's clarity here.
Yeah, I'm hearing that clarity come through, and I just really want to honor you for all the work that you've been doing. And all of the awareness and all of the just all that's coming through. And I love this last piece that you said, because what I wanted to reflect to you is just one thing I noticed in your share is that even though when you started sharing, you said you were triggered, as you were talking, I could feel you owning your deeper truths more and more. And I saw like more regulation. I saw the trigger kind of move away and like more regulation come and more owning coming. And so it feels like it's so accessible for you to like the change is palpable to me. Does that resonate?
Yeah, no, it does. And thank you for all of the wonderful commentary in there. I feel like it has been a very alone process of having to really come to terms with, okay, this is not just the only thing I can do to fuck it. I'm really good at this. And this is what I want to do. And so that in itself, without those support systems around to really support that and just get brushed off with being small, doesn't feel good. So even a group such as this is just the constant being drawn in to have more connection with people who are in the similar situations or who see the value of this work and are just interested in connecting more deeply with self is just amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for all of that.
Thank you for holding the space for that. Okay.
All right. Let me check the chat here for a moment, and we still have a bit to go through today. Cecil is saying, I'm wondering if clients and practitioners both bring in dynamics and patterns and also trigger them in one another. I sense a bit of shaming about bringing stuff in as if one has to not make noise because that means one has not done the work. I think sometimes chat is a little hard to understand, Cecil, but if I'm understanding what you're sharing correctly, a couple of pieces here. So first of all, none of the things that we ever look at or the questions that I ask for self-awareness are about self-judgment or shame at all. It is for awareness so that we can choose to shift if we want it to. And yes, the like dynamics that are unaware, it can kind of be a dance between the client and the practitioner. And so the more that we can be aware of that and create the awareness, then, you know, one won't trigger the other. Angela's asking, how do we balance the giving and taking situation? That's a great question. And that's also that's a big question. Let me get through some pieces. And then Angela, I wanna make sure I also like answer, you know, help you specifically with what you need there. So if you're willing to, I know you don't love to come out and talk, but if you're willing to, that way I can kind of more specifically help you there. Okay. All right, I want to share a couple of pieces. Now that we have this awareness, I want to share a couple of pieces of what we can do when we see that our clients are bringing projections and dynamics into the container. And then we'll open up for more Q&A. And I know that we've like stirred the cauldron here, and there's a lot of thoughts and pieces coming up, which is great. And so, you know, I think more will also come over the next week. So what can we do when clients are bringing dynamics and projections? Well, first of all, as we keep on coming back to over and over again, and we keep on coming back to today, awareness is huge. Awareness is huge. And when I say awareness, there's awareness of the practitioner and then awareness for the client to be aware. So let's start with awareness of our awareness first. As practitioners, one of the most important things when a client is bringing a projection into the container is for us to be aware that it's likely a projection and not about us. It's not about us as the practitioner. It's such a simple thing, what I'm saying, but it's so important because the moment that we think that it's about us is the moment where we don't have as much of our grounding in terms of our own energetics. But if we can have the awareness that if a client is, you know, bringing anger or, you know, comparison or whatever it is, that it's not about us, it's just like Barbara said before, it's just their autopilot that they're bringing in, then we can have that more solid energetics. We can hold the container in ways that are gonna be as supportive as possible for the client. So to Cecil's point, sometimes a client can bring a dynamic or a projection in, and then it can trigger our own family dynamics as practitioners, right? And that's when we start to think, we think it's about us, and then it projects our thing. And, you know, that's where the dance comes in. So we want, like, all of this awareness that we're looking at today, creating today, first and foremost, so that we know that it's not about us, except every now and again, when it is actually about us. So that's an important piece to say too. Like if a client, you know, brings anger to the container, we don't just want to blindly be like, oh, that's their family projections. I didn't do anything wrong. You know, like there's nothing for me to look at here, right? So we always want to check our filters. We always want to listen deeply, you know, and be able to discern, right? So our awareness is so important. And then the other way that we can really support our clients when they bring in family projections or dynamics is to help them to support awareness around it. Just their awareness alone can open up so much, right? Like as just the way we created awareness today, right? Just that alone can open up so much. We're not looking to eliminate the projection, the patterns, the dynamics. Like we're not looking to just like make them go away. We're looking to be able to check them, to be aware of them, to notice them so that we can then, you know, course correct. And then they might come up again, but if our client has that awareness, then we can like course correct again, right? So we want to use all of our creating awareness skills that we've learned so far in this program. And Amy, to your point about like feeling weird about bringing it up, you know, there might be some answers here for you in this, right? So we want to think about those creating awareness skills that we've learned and apply those creating awareness skills to this situation. So sometimes it might be with, you know, a question. Sometimes it might be with reflecting the truth. So I'll model, you know, one example of using the reflecting the truth technique here or skill here. If we see that a client might be bringing something in, we might say something as follows. You know, sometimes we can bring our family or early life patterns into the coaching relationship. It's totally normal. I've done that myself as a client before as well. And I'm wondering if some of that might be happening right now. I'm sensing that sometimes you worry that I don't approve of you, which by the way is so far from the truth, but I wonder if that comes up for you and if that resonates for you. And if so, this, you know, constant worrying about approval, what relationship in your life does it remind you of? Right? So just reflecting the truth, allowing for the client's wisdom there, but bringing it forward to create awareness. So we want to have our own awareness so that we can hold tight and solid containers. And then we want to also create awareness for our clients. And then once we create that initial awareness for our clients, as I said a few minutes ago, if it comes up again, you know, we can address it on the spot. We can, you know, once the awareness is created, clients will really start checking it for themselves, you know, if it makes an impact, if there's value for them there. And then we also, if it like comes up later on, you know, we can kind of bring that up again. There's another tool that we can also use, and one that's really powerful. And it relates to what I was sharing before, that if it's true that what happens in the coaching container is kind of a microcosm of what happens out of the container, then it's also true that depending on how we direct things and navigate things, the coaching container and relationship can become a transformative opportunity for our clients. So the way that I like to think about this is that I am, as the practitioner, always preemptively bringing helpful dynamics into the container. As the practitioner, I am always bringing preemptively helpful dynamics into the container. So for me, what that means is that one of my goals as a practitioner is to bring in the archetypal energies of ideal mother, ideal father, ideal parent, ideal sister as best I can. So, I'm going to use gendered mother or father here because that's language that I relate to. But if the gendered language doesn't work for you, you can just think of parent. But for example, bringing in the energy of the ideal mother for me, I am bringing an energy. I'm not, and by the way, this isn't stand-in for mother. This is bringing in the archetypal energy of ideal mother into the container. So as that, I bring in the energy of nurturing, of all accepting, of all loving, of validating, of being consistent for the client. When I channel the energy of ideal father, I allow for mistakes to happen and for it to be more than an okay. I motivate in positive ways. I hold structure and boundary, but in warm ways. I see the highest potential of my clients. I let them know I see their highest potential in everything that I see in them. I am lovingly confrontational when it's appropriate. And then when I channel the energy of ideal sister, ideal sibling, I don't put myself on a pedestal. I hold an energy of there's enough success to go around for everyone. I'm aware of my own competition issues and check them. I create an environment of full acceptance. I show that I enjoy my clients' company, that I genuinely enjoy them and enjoy being around them. And then I also channel ideal leader because, unfortunately, you know, as we all know, out there in the industry, there's a lot of not so ideal leadership going on, and that can create, you know, certain patterns and projections. And so I know we're kind of almost at 2 p.m. today, but I want to tell a quick story about that and then share a little bit more. So years and years ago, I was leading in one of my trainings. It's called Into the Depths. It's a facilitator training. It's an in-person facilitator and ritual training. And I was leading this training with a group of incredible people. And we were doing this beautiful ceremony. One night we were calling in our ancestors and connecting with our ancestors. Just really beautiful and really powerful. And I closed out, we finished the circle, and everybody went to their rooms to go to bed for the evening. And we were still meeting the next day. And I went home and I was like, something isn't right. I don't know what it is, but something isn't right. And I'm like in bed, I'm like, what isn't right? And then I realized that we had called in the ancestors, but at the end of that circle, at the end of that ceremony, I didn't release the ancestors. And as soon as I realized this, I was just like, oh no, because I was teaching them how to do ritual. It was a training on ritual and I had made a mistake. So anyway, actually, I'm not remembering the story right. I don't think I realized it that night. I realized it the next morning in circle, because the next morning we were in circle and I was doing a check-in and everybody was going around just check, you know, I was doing this like, you know, how are you feeling? Everybody had a few minutes to check in. And as woman by woman was going, one woman was like, last night's ceremony was so powerful, but the night was really rough because I felt like my grandmother Betty was in the room with me. You know, another woman was like, there was a white light. I swear it was like a ghost and I couldn't sleep at all. And I'm like, what's going on with these women? And that's when I realized the mistake that I had made. And I was like, oh no, you know, and like the shame and all the things. And I had a choice in leadership at that point, right? I could have just let everybody share and do their thing and just be like, oh, that's how it was, right? Whatever. Or I could put my big girl leadership panties on and be transparent and share what I knew. And it was so hard to do. However, when everybody was done with their sharing, I took a deep breath and I explained to them what happened and why all of that was going on. And then I explained to them just with the noting, with the releasing, you know, release and they're gone, and you know, that was all we needed. And I was terrified, like I was shaking, you know, that they would all want their money back. Like it would just be like coming out with the pitchforks and all that. But I knew I had to do it and I did it. I was terrified, I was shaking. Well, let me tell you, my sharing of that, my bringing in the energy of the ideal leader into that circle ended up being a healing experience for a number of people in that circle. They shared that was the first time ever that's someone in a position of authority noted that they had done something wrong and took responsibility for it and apologized for it. And that very fact right there shifted so much for them. So don't underestimate the power of energetically bringing in these ideal archetypes into the container. It can do so much. So how do we show up as ideal parent, ideal sibling, ideal space holder, ideal leader, etc.? Continue to check and be aware of our own projections and our own dynamics. Keep on coming back to the equal playing field. Remain unattached. Remember, it's not about us. Keep our egos out of it. We stay present. Continue to love ourselves and our clients no matter what comes up. Stay grounded, right? Take care of our bodies. Our bodies are like our containers. When I'm more grounded, when I've eaten well, when I've slept well, when I've done my own practices to help me regulate, that's when I'm better able to hold a more solid container for my clients and bring those aligned energetics in. Practice our creating awareness skills. All of that. Okay. I know that I just said a lot in a short period of time. We have 2 minutes left officially. I'd love to hear shares, takeaways, questions. I'll hang on for an extra couple minutes. And then if there's, you know, a lot that wants to be shared or moved through, we can also, you know, revisit this as well, or, you know, continue with this. I don't want to, anyway, I'll stop talking. Who wants to share? What are you seeing? What's important? What's coming up for you? And what questions do you have? And if you asked a question before in the chat and I said I would come back to it, now is a great moment for that as well. Angela.
Hello, Joanna. So my question was about how we balance the giving and receiving, because Carla mentioned about how she's very good at honoring other practitioners and paying for it. But like, and on her financial receiving is not, and I have the same. So where is the missing link in that we are able to honor that, but other practitioners, but not us?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And I think it's different for each of us, you know, and I'll do a little bit of coaching right now, but it probably is I love you've got some hands behind you. We'll do a little bit of coaching now and maybe leave you with some questions to work on yourself and let's see how it evolves. So for you, you know, because for each person it's different, for you, Angela, what is the belief that stands in your way of being able to receive?
Not good enough, maybe.
Yeah. So I'm not good enough, therefore what?
Yeah, therefore I don't allow to receive what I think it would.
Yeah. So first, let's just pause there so we can see that this holding back from receiving is like every time you don't feel good enough, then it's hard to receive, or it's hard to ask for payment, or it's hard to name rates or whatever it is. Am I getting all of that right so far? Yeah. So put your coaching hat on for a moment. So seeing that, where would be some good places for you to explore and look?
Oh, it's hard to maybe writing down what I mean, on my merits, I don't know.
I love that. I love that as a piece of this. Yes, I would love for you to do that, to write down your merits, your brilliances, the value that you bring. Don't leave anything off the list. Nothing is too big or too small for this list. If you are a good listener, right? Sometimes the things that we're best at, we don't even realize are our merits that give value, right? If you're a good listener, put that on the list. If you are kind-hearted and your clients feel a sense of love in your presence, put that on the list. You know, whatever it is, all the things, I want you to really give that focus and attention, because all of those pieces are added value. And then let's see what wants to come out. You know, do that and then let us know and we'll see what wants to come from there. How does that feel?
Amazing. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Who else? What else are you seeing? What else wants to be shared? What are you taking away as we wrap for today? Or what questions do you have? I'd love to hear another voice or two. Let me know what you're taking away, what's feeling important here. Cecil.
Hi, thank you. So for a long while, I've had the sense that I had to, for a period of time, go no contact with my mother while I'm transiting into opening this kind of coaching business situation, because the energy is confusing for me. And I've written a draft, I've done several things and sort of like warmed up for it. And I just at some moment checked out and I send it right now during this session, like feeling, okay, now is the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm honoring that in the sense of it's, it's really showing how much I want to keep the energy field clean for me to be present with what it is that I'm initiating, so I can get off the ground in a good way. And then once I have my ground set, she can come back in and I can handle it.
Yeah, I really want to honor that, Cecil. I know that it's not always easy to set a boundary like that. And I really see you in your strength, and as you said, in your commitment to really, you know, getting this off the ground and making this happen. And I just honor you for knowing what your needs are and how you need to protect yourself and this business that you're creating in order to get it off the ground. So just so beautifully done.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right. I feel like there's one more share in the field. I just want to give one more opportunity before we wrap for today. Brenda.
In their questions, there was the question about where do we get the behavior of those ideal character archetypes.
Is it not in the handouts?
I don't know. Maybe it is and I haven't.
Let me double check. I feel like they are in the handouts, but if not, I make a note here.
It is in the handouts. It is. But the leadership one wasn't, so.
Okay. Yeah, I probably left that out because that's more for groups, but I'll put that one in. Also, thank you for letting me know, Tina. So the ideal leader isn't in there. Awesome. I'll add that in. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, everyone. Sending you all a lot of love, and I'm excited to see what happens in each of your cauldrons as you continue to engage with this and bring this awareness more and more to the surface. And I will talk to you soon. Have a great rest of your day.